Welcome to the Ghost Rap Podcast. It's fast, it's fun, it's informative. This is your weekly dose of the news that matters on the markets with your host, the Finance Ghost. For more details on these stories and to make sure you get daily updates, visit ghostmail.co.za. The Ghost Rap Podcast is proudly brought to you by Mazars, a leading international audit, tax, and advisory firm with a national footprint within South Africa. Cement is still a tough business. I'll start with PPC, a company with excess capacity and immense frustration with a South African government that just cannot drive the economic growth and infrastructure spend required to actually use that capacity. In good news, at least, cement imports do take a knock from a weaker rand. So there's at least one government-driven outcome that is helping the company. Volumes fell in the SA Obligor Group, which is basically just South Africa and Botswana, where the earnings are that the banks look to for measuring covenants and servicing debt. Although pricing increases did take revenue into the green, costs grew by more than revenue, and so EBITDA dropped sharply by 26% in the 12 months ended March. Even Zimbabwe with EBITDA down 7%, and especially Rwanda with EBITDA up 31%, outperformed the local business in terms of year-on-year movement in profitability. Although the group is still reporting a headline loss, it is smaller than it was in the prior year, and it seems as though the net debt to EBITDA ratios are in a more reasonable range now. And it's not just PPC struggling, with Sephaku Holdings reporting a drop in HEPS of between 38 and 46% at group level despite maintaining market share. Unfortunately, market share and profitability are not the same things, with the local Sephaku cement business dropping to break even and the African business carrying profitability. It really does say something about the level of investment in South Africa that our cement groups are struggling to make money locally and in many cases are doing better in other African countries. I wrote something rather cheeky last week in Ghost Bites about Naspers and Prosus that got picked up on Twitter and spread accordingly. The market's frustration with this management team is the stuff of legend, with immense value destruction along the way. The company talks about how the recent sales of Tencent shares and the repurchases of Prosus and Naspers shares have created $29 billion in value. But the truth of it is that all they've done is recover some of the value that was previously destroyed, which is hardly the same thing. The measure of success of this management team should have nothing to do with Tencent, a legacy deal they inherited, and everything to do with how the dividends have been invested in other companies. And with that approach, this team would come up horribly short, evidenced by headline earnings per share down by as much as 80%. One of the major drivers is a drop in value of the portfolio due to a market correction in internet valuations, their wording, not mine. And that's just because they went and bought loads of assets right at the top of the cycle, despite everyone pointing out how absurd that strategy was. Of course, the management team still makes a fortune along the way, and it's the shareholders who lose out, with flat returns over 5 years in Prosus and just single digits in Naspers. Speaking of value destruction, we still need to talk about Spar. There is no dividend for the 6 months to March 2023, so your best chance of any kind of reward at Spar as a shareholder is to collect those little stickers and buy yourself a MasterChef pan. We can't even lay the blame at Poland's door anymore, something our government is trying to do at the moment in a very different context. Spar grew revenue in Poland and especially in Ireland and Southwest England. Switzerland is down, but that's not enough to break the group story. No, that accolade goes firmly to the South African business, a major contributor to operating profit falling by 17.5% and HEPS down by more than 30%. They desperately need to sort out their SAP system issues, with the KwaZulu-Natal region being particularly affected by this. But most of all, SPAR needs to sort out its balance sheet. Group debt has ballooned from 9.8 billion rand at 30 September 2022 to 12.8 billion rand at the end of March. That's not what anyone wants to see in a higher interest rate environment. For some good news, we can look to unlikely hero Alexander Forbes. Hardly the most exciting company on the JSE, this group is proof that strong execution of a sensible strategy can really pay off. The 5-year story in the share price isn't exactly pretty, but there was a pandemic in the middle of that period, and the share price has been moving solidly higher ever since. For those who like trading the peaks and troughs in a rising trend, do yourself a favor and draw the chart going back to mid-2020 to see what you've missed out on. The share price growth is being supported by solid earnings performance, like normalized HEPS growth of 31% and a 35% increase in the final dividend. There have been several corporate transactions as well, as Alexander Forbes looks to get its portfolio of businesses right. Boring can be good. At the opposite end of boring, we find deal-making enthusiasts Glencore. You just can't keep this group down, with ongoing attempts to pull off a deal with Teck Resources in Canada. The huge deal that they have been pushing for is a merger and demerger, where the groups are combined and then split in two anyway. A simpler version of this is for Glencore to simply acquire the dirty coal business from Teck, giving those shareholders cash and all the ESG warm and fuzzies along the way. Glencore would then combine that business with the rest of its dirty coal businesses and focus on reducing debt from the acquisition before unbundling this coal company to shareholders. Unlike Anglo American that literally gifted Thungela to the market, you can be sure that Glencore wouldn't just leave a fortune on the table. In a separate transaction, Glencore has agreed to sell its 50% stake in Viterra in exchange for $1 billion in cash and $3.1 billion in Bungie Limited, giving Glencore a 15% stake in the enlarged business. But all eyes are really on the Teck deal, so let's see what happens there. MultiChoice has released detailed numbers, and I've been waiting for these with great interest. As I suspected, trading profit fell, and HEPS was particularly horrible because of the forex situation in Nigeria. Group trading profit, that's down by 3%, with a much higher drop in South Africa of 23%, which was blunted by performance in Africa, which was pretty good. But at trading profit level, that performance in Africa is before forex issues. When you combine these challenges with the need to invest in the Showmax Peacock partnership and other initiatives, there is no dividend from MultiChoice Group, and I don't think we will see one for a while. But when it comes to cash flow pressures, I'm ending off with Telkom and its struggles on the Teck treadmill. You see, the problem at Telkom is that the new age businesses aren't growing nearly quickly enough to offset the drops in the legacy businesses. Simply, the world has changed faster than Telkom or its shareholders anticipated. Another concern is that even Telkom Mobile, a key growth area, is trading sideways in terms of revenue. Sideways is but a dream when it comes to free cash flow here, which was negative 2.7 billion rand. Now, aside from the obvious pressure of operating losses, an increase in postpaid mobile customers means that Telkom has to fund the handsets up front and then collect the cash over the period of the contract. It's all just very messy for Telkom right now, with the group continuing to attract attention from cheeky bids and takeover discussions, but there is nothing concrete at this stage. And that's a wrap. Please remember that nothing you hear on the Ghost Rap podcast should be taken as advice. Please do your own research and visit ghostmail.co.za for more insights into the market.